We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
10.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1A radio.com station. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Jerry Rice in 1 hour. What does he think about Vontae Davis quitting on his team? What does he think about the idea of signing Josh Gordon to be the newest member of the San Francisco 49ers? Jerry Rice in 1 hour, the beef line coming up in 29 minutes at 7:30. If you've got a problem with 4th and 1 in that Denver-Oakland game, if you've got a problem with Garoppolo late making that decision that got bailed out on the PI call, the defensive holding call, excuse me, 888. Actually, no. Scratch that. Throw the flag. I got another number by this point. 415-403-8588. 415-403-8588. Best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30. Best of the best wins a $100 gift certificate courtesy of our good friends at Harris Ranch. The Niners win yesterday.
Yeah.
It was not pretty late, but they found a way to get right like we had been talking about all week. Now, we're going to go through the Garoppolo grades and the Josh Gordon thing during this hour, but let's start with Kyle Shanahan. What did you think of the head coach's performance yesterday?
I gave him a C. I mean, you know, he passed, but I gave him a C, and I think that he, you know, he can call some great games. But you were a field goal away from tying that game, going overtime, but it didn't have to be. It shouldn't have been. Minute 20 before halftime, you get the ball back. Why aren't you running the ball? Why don't you run one play? And this is what I don't get with some of these coaches. They don't even run a play. See, when you run the ball, the clock continues to go. If you decide to say, okay, I'm going. You know your team's not there yet. I know you're trying to put the nail in the coffin and get another score before halftime. That's fine. But if you run one, now you run the ball. Now the clock's going. Now if you get a first, okay, now I can continue to pass. But you got to keep the clock moving. You didn't even have Detroit use a timeout. Detroit was able to get the ball with 50-some seconds left and be able to come down march the ball down the field because they had all their timeouts because you never made them burn one. And kick a field goal with no time. If you run the ball one time in that situation, you make Detroit burn a timeout. And now if you get a first, that's fine. But at least you got the clock going. You put a team in a tough situation. You can't do that. That right there, to me, you lost a complete grade for that.
Okay. Game management. Very game important. Management. We talk about Absolutely. It here all the time. Did you see it last night in this loser Giant Cowboy game? 4th and inches from midfield, the Giants are punting. Why did you spend the 2nd overall pick on a running back if you're going to punt in that scenario? That is just bad business. And it doesn't take an expert to see it.
And then they go for it on 4th and inches later on in the game with a couple inches. So it goes to show you.
It's I agree. No clue. They have no clue what they're doing. They are the Giants are a mess.
First drive. I saw that, Joe. First drive. Bad clock management.
They make that. Look at the Cowboys celebrating. He didn't win nothing in that game.
Nothing.
That's a big window for those of us on Dallas. That's right.
Yeah, beat the bookie. Missed on that one.
Yeah, Low versus Dibs. Low missed. Dibs with the hit.
Where are we at on that? Low took a one game lead, I believe, into week two. Where are we at?
We are a flat-footed tie right now, heading into tonight.
Tonight?
So you're one game better this week, then?
Correct.
Are you both on the same side tonight?
No. God,
who's got
no.
What?
I'm on the Bears.
He's on the Bears.
You like the Seahawks tonight?
Yeah.
Woo! It's going to be interesting.
It really is.
Okay.
Be a hell of a game.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
The Shanahan thing. I'm trying to go through the game management scenario. I mean,
that's they interesting were running that you the give them a full grade on that, though, because...
You have to.
That's a situation where...
It cost them points.
Yeah.
The other team... And it almost cost you the game. It almost cost you to go in overtime. You got to look at clock management, and you don't have a necessary... You don't got Tom Brady back there. And necessary... You don't got Wes Walker. You don't got necessary...
I'm sorry. Brady just lost to Bortles yesterday. Was outplayed by Bortles.
He's 40,
Brady's no longer the gold standard.
It's double B's Blake Bortles.
Yeah. You can say he's not Bortles. The guy's not Bortles.
Wait a minute.
He's no Mahomes.
You want
that's
those
actually...
Guys?
Wow, that kid's unbelievable.
On pace for 80 TDs this year.
Listen, guys, played against you guys.
Stat.
Jacksonville's a friggin' awesome defensive team, okay? That game, everyone expected them to lose that
game. Is this an excuse for Brady?
No. Brady, he didn't play bad. He played, he had some missed throws. Who hasn't? But I'm just saying.
Derek, actually, yesterday missed on almost nothing. Completed 90% of his passes.
Three of the passes that were incomplete for the game, and one of them was the most critical play of the afternoon on that fourth and one, and inches.
Yeah.
One of three incompletes.
He was razor sharp yesterday. Derek was threading needles, man.
He bounced back. It was a bounce back situation. Here's a guy, went up to Mile High, played against a great defense, and went out there, got the ball out of his hand quick. You saw our boy Cooper look good, got the ball in his hands. The guy's got great feet, in and out of breaks. He makes guys miss. Amari Cooper is a dangerous guy. You got to get that guy involved. When teams prey off of him, you just stand up, throw the ball over to him, especially if they're playing cover two. You stand up, let him throw the ball to him, and let this guy do work, because he's very, very, very elusive, and he's hard to bring down. Like what he was doing, Derek Carr did a hell of a job.
He was 10 for 10.
It was nice.
Derek threw 10 passes to Amari. Amari caught all of them. He was 10 for 10 yesterday. I want to throw out another shout-out, too. There's two we've got to get to because we haven't mentioned him in the show. Number one, a robust round of applause for the legend, the icon, Frank Gore yesterday.
Wow.
Who is a running back for the Miami Dolphins, now 2-0 Miami Dolphins, but he moved to fourth on the all-time rushing list. He passed Curtis Martin and is now fourth all-time rushing. He's up there with unbelievable company. Sweetness, Emmett, I should probably know the third. Is it Barry?
Bear.
Who's the third?
I think it is Barry.
Okay. Well, that'll play. So, congratulations, Frank Gore. Also,
he's got to catch, you know who the man is. Emmett's up there. Emmett's one. Then number two would be
Sweetness.
Sweetness.
And then Sanders three.
Sanders three. Then Jim Brown four. So
no, Frank's four now.
I mean, Frank.
Then Curtis Martin, then your boy LT, and then the bus.
LT dropping. Might have to have a conversation about taking him out of camp.
He did it in, Frank played, five more years? LT did.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. I'm just letting you know.
Second among active rushers, the only guy who really has a chance to catch LT is AD, Adrian Peterson. Another robust day yesterday. Yeah. We have 28 yards on 14 carries.
Yeah, Redskins looked really good yesterday.
Juggernaut.
How bad is Arizona? If Arizona gets beat up at home by the Redskins, and then the Redskins go home and get beat up by the Colts, how bad is Arizona?
Bad.
How does Sam Bradford still in the NFL?
How is he in the league?
He's not just in it.
Hey,
he
Colin,
makes a ton of money.
Cap, this is Low Neal. Got you a job. Go to Arizona.
He can't. He, you know... Apparently, he hates America, according to so many people. I don't know how we got to this.
I know.
I'm going to bring it right back.
Okay, please.
The Pierre Garçon block.
Yeah.
The Pierre Garçon block on the Matt Breida touchdown run.
Amazing.
The wide receiver all the way down the field, just plowing the way for Breida to get in the end zone. That was an awesome play to watch.
And
yesterday.
It was effort, 100% effort. So if you're his teammate and you see what he did on that play, you remember it and you hope that you never get in a situation where you give 90%. Because I was talking to Lowe during the break about that. First thing Garçon does is hand fight to get in front of the defender before riding him all the way down the field. If he doesn't do that initial effort, the guy gets in front of him and now he's in clip zone. Now he can't do a thing about it. But he hand fights, he gets, like Lowe says, a half a man in front, and then it's just push him all the way down the field. And Breida must have enjoyed watching him because Garçon was right in front of him the whole way, just locking down the defender, and Breida's just waiting, and then he scores.
Like, if you're the defender at some point, don't you just throw your body on the ground and hope you trip? Breida, like, why are you just going to let him push you through the end zone? At some point, you have to do something, right? Do you really want that on tape?
You want?
It's like, look at this play. You were blocked for 48 yards. What happened here? Just throw your body on the ground. Take a guess.
You can't overcommit, so you're staying up, and what you're hoping to do is slow him down, which he did, and you're thinking pursuit is going to catch up.
Yeah, because the Lions, they're buttoned up. Someone's going to be trailing that play.
You think Patricia's got that defense supposed to be at least show some heart, but so you're just thinking that, and it just but what he was able to do,
he had a good game, man.
Pierre Garçon, that was unbelievable. I call that 1-2. That's a guy just said, you know what, I got the 1-2. I'm going to block this guy no matter what. A lot of guys quit on that. A lot of guys, they block, and then they just stop and let the running back go, and then they say, oh, it's over. No, that's 1-2. He understood the situation, understood the magnitude of getting in the end zone. Because what has the Niners shown that they struggled at? The red zone. This is a situation where Breida's like, no, not on my watch. Pierre Garçon said, I'm going to get you there. Get on my hip and don't dip. Took him all the way to the end zone. Unbelievable block. He gets a game ball for that block. That block alone, game ball.
Well, that's what you want as the example for the rest of the team. If the veteran, the high-priced veteran receiver is going to make this play, who in this room is this beneath? It's beneath none of you. Everyone should be out there making plays like that. It looked really good. Defense was flying to the football, too, early in that game. They're not going to get enough credit because of what happened late, but that was an aggressive, attacking defense yesterday. I don't know how that pen got 40 feet away from me. You see this? It's unbelievable.
Your role is there a ghost in here?
Away from me.
I saw it all the way.
Got away from you.
All right. Two big questions, Niner fans. You can light them up if you want. 888-957-9570. A, do you want the Niners to bring in Josh Gordon? B, how would you grade Jimmy Garoppolo's performance yesterday? 888-957-9570. The money spot is next. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
It's football season, and 95.7's roster is stacked.
Let's go!
We have weekly interviews with Steve Mariucci.
There were a lot of good things to take away from that game for the Niners.
David Carr.
Now, I think Kyle Shanahan is, I think he's the top three coordinator in the league as far as what he's able to do.
Michael Irvin.
A black and white issue kills your locker room, and a green issue kills your locker room. Black and white and green.
And the GOAT, Jerry Rice.
When you sign a contract of that magnitude, you have to live up to that.
The biggest names and the biggest games live here on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, the thirsty listening audience. Because it's a Monster Monday, because we've got the beef line coming up in 11 minutes, because Jerry Rice is going to join us at 8 o'clock.
Oh, Jerry.
And because we love you. That's the most important thing. We love you. Let's begin with the big conversation that is on everyone's mind starting yesterday morning. Josh Gordon, wide receiver, Cleveland Browns, is apparently headed to the open market. Maybe it's via trade. Maybe it's via free agency, and he's released by, 4 o'clock Eastern today, I think is the deadline we're all looking for. 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. But it looks as if Gordon is going to be out there. Now, there are two teams that his camp has apparently leaked that they're interested in. The Cowboys, because he's from Texas, and the Niners, presumably because he played under Kyle Shanahan in Cleveland in 2014. It's a very bizarre situation that has led to his release. We don't have all the details. There's this report that he was at a team promotional shoot and he injured his hamstring. Then there are people wildly speculating about a potential relapse. I don't know what it is. I just know that it looks as if Cleveland has had enough of the guy. Here's Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network on the situation.
I would be very surprised if Josh Gordon is not traded by 4 p.m. today. In fact, I am told it is expected to happen. We do not know where he is going to go. What we do know is there is a legitimate market. And the reason is he has a very low salary. He's under contract for 2 years. So this could be a very low risk experiment for some team, maybe a team willing to give up a conditional pick. For instance, let's say he's on the field for 10 games through the balance of the season. Then it would be a fourth rounder or fifth rounder, something like that. In fact, I would actually expect the Browns to be able to get substantial compensation for one of the big time talents in the NFL. But this is not the whole story. First of all, I'm told as far as where he wants to go, the Cowboys would be a spot that he likes. I'm not sure that's going to happen. The 49ers would be another spot. Gordon is also getting his hamstring checked out. That is going to be this morning, just to find out how long the injury that kept him out on Sunday's game that started all this will actually keep him off the field in general.
Okay, so to surmise, Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network on Good Morning Football reporting on Josh Gordon. And this is Ian on Twitter a few hours ago breaking the whole thing down. Gordon is making only $790,000 this year. He is a restricted free agent next year. So there's 2 years of team control left. If the compensation is a conditional pick based on games played or something similar, it could climb to a mid-rounder. The Browns are in a good spot. This is all according to Ian Rappaport. So something happened. The Browns have decided they're moving on. He's going to be gone by the end of the day. Either cut it for if they can't find a trade partner or a trade. So if you're the Niners, you're looking around, you need weapons, you're thinking about helping out your highly priced quarterback, do you bring in Josh Gordon? John Lynch said yesterday they made a phone call that they are doing their due diligence. Would you try to pull the trigger on this?
Man, it's tough. I'm a pass. I'm a pass if I'm the Niners. You know what? I said, yeah, bring in a guy. You know, certain guys we talked about, do you bring in? And, you know, I said, yeah, bring this guy in. For instance, 88 from Dallas. Because Dez loves football. Dez doesn't have any drug problems. Dez can, you know, is he better than Josh? Not even close. But at least I know he wants to play. Josh, he's a clown show, in my opinion. I think the guy, I think he's got demons. I think he's got things that he needs to overcome. I wouldn't necessarily do it for this team. Now, if I'm the Patriots, yeah, I'm more susceptible to doing it. I look at Josh Gordon. I look at a guy like, you know, you look at certain guys, Aldon Smith. I don't look at Johnny Manziel in the same breath because those two guys, in my opinion, two Hall of Famers. I don't think Johnny Manziel was going to be a trajectory of Hall of Fame. But these two guys, Aldon Smith and Josh, these are Hall of Famers that won't ever get in. These are Hall of Famers. These are guys that are $100 million guys plus that won't never get their money because they got extra things going on. So with me, if I'm the Niners, I just don't know if this guy really, truly has exercised all these demons because you're not showing up. Come on. You didn't even come to training camp. They gave him the pass. They tried to bait. He's in a good situation. What, you think Hugh Jackson's not good to him? You don't think that organization doesn't treat him with soft kid
gloves? Did anyone watch Hard Knocks? They handled him as beautifully as you could, and when they got the report that he was on his way to camp, Hugh was so excited. So excited. They loved this dude. Loved.
Absolutely.
Past tense, this dude.
So I think he's a guy that needs to be around a guy like Tom Brady. He's a guy that needs to be around a Belichick. He's a guy that they're going to say, no, you're mandatory, you're doing this. And he's a guy that needs a culture change altogether. Can he help the Niners? Absolutely. I just don't trust him, Joe. I don't think he's dependable. Here's a guy getting hurt right before a game. Here's a guy that doesn't show up to training camp. I don't trust him. I think he needs to be in a place where he's uncomfortable. He needs a place where they're going to hold him to a very, very high regard and not let him get away with it. And not saying the Niners would, but I just don't think this team I don't think this team is the right fit for him. Get him to New England. That'd be a better fit, in my opinion.
6'3", 225 pounds.
The guy can play.
Balance, speed,
amazing.
Explosion, a polished route runner. There is a lot to love about this dude. Anyone who's ever around Josh Gordon looks at him and goes, you're a wide receiver, because he is a physical freak. But there are issues. The Niners have familiarity with him. Shanahan coached him in 2014. He's very, very cheap. For the next couple years, obviously you're going to be giving up a pick in there because most likely this is going to go down via trade. Someone's going to take a chance on this guy. Question is, should the Niners be that team?
Absolutely, because you've got a situation where if he does play well, you've got cap space for the future and you could have found a diamond in the rough. And he's in a point where he's played just 11 games over the past four seasons, including this season in which he's 1-for-2. But he missed an entire year, and in those other years, he just played five games. So you got a lot of freshness still in that body of his. The only question is, to Lowe's point, does he still want to play football? I think all the knuckleheadery, all the stuff that he's done, I wouldn't characterize him necessarily as having a, quote, drug problem. He clearly had a problem with marijuana and the NFL's testing procedures, and he continually failed. But if that's behind him, what you're getting is a game changer. And this 49er offense, from what we've seen through 2 weeks, needs a game changer.
Edgar in San Francisco. Edgar, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on Josh Gordon and the 49ers.
Hi, good morning, you guys. I just want to go ahead and say I think it'd be a great idea just because we do need a big red zone threat. However, it'd be a horrible idea thanks to what happened with Reuben Foster. So if you go ahead and kind of those two things in there, you kind of got to find that balance whether or not you'd want to risk it.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Dickinson was on with us about an hour ago. He made a similar point. How many individuals do you want on one roster in which you need to babysit? You're not running a daycare down there. And the big problem for Gordon, who was his best friend in Cleveland?
Johnny
Manziel. Oh, those two used to love to go out. So can you trust that he and Ruben somehow don't form some sort of friendship and provide just horrible examples for one another? The thing with Gordon that people fail to realize is that he's not a football player. There's one thing that makes you a football player. Do you know what that is? You don't need to be big like Lorenzo Neal. You don't need to be fast like Randy Moss. To be a football player, you have to play football. That's it. That's literally the only requirement to be a professional football player. Now, to be a good one, okay. Now we'll start getting into the nitty-gritty. But if you're going to be a football player and you are going to be paid by a football team to play football, the only thing you need to do is play football. This guy does not play football. I'm not interested in going over to the hospital to get my heart checked out by a guy who, you know, he's outside having a cigarette. I came here for the doctor's appointment. Yeah, but he's not here. Well, then what good are you to me? It's been nothing but excuses for him. It's been excuses from day one. Well, you know, it's just pot. Well, you know, he missed the photo shoot. What makes anyone think that this guy is going to clean up? He literally got like his sixth chance. Cleveland was totally cool with him when he was like, you know what? I just want to check myself back in the rehab. I'm going to miss the start of camp. I know I promised everyone everything. I know once again, you guys stood by me. I know the league cleared me and I have yet another opportunity, but I got to go get myself checked out. I'm just not right. Okay. Everyone stood by him.
Nice.
Everyone was like, look at this kid. Once again, he's trying to make the right decision. He's going to go to rehab. He's going to get himself organized and he's going to come back and join the Browns. He made it one game. He made it one game and then had yet another issue to the point where imagine what has to have happened here for Cleveland to say no. Cleveland looks like a bunch of schmucks because once again, this guy played them. Hugh Jackson looks like a fool. This wasn't some simple, I was 5 minutes late for a meeting. Something happened here to the point where Cleveland's like, we know we're going to be the butt of everyone's jokes again, but we got to move on from this
guy. I'd rather be the butt of someone's joke than be the butt in my own house. And that's what Hugh Jackson, this organization, said. We can be the butt to you guys, the media, the round, and everyone else around the league. Sure, we'll be the butt, but I'm not in my own house. I'm not going to have Tyrod Taylor, all these players that come into practice, that are working hard, that are being on time, that's buttoned up, coming to meetings, grinding, doing all this stuff, and a guy doesn't do any of that stuff and just shows up and thinks he's supposed to just be able to play. A guy go out and take photo shoots and do all the stuff you can do. I'm not going to be the butt here because if he lets this guy go out there and play, no matter what kind of talent, you saw what he did against Pittsburgh, the guy can flat out play. He's a boy dog. He can get it done. I get all those things. But if I let him play and do those things, what is those other guys, Caldwell, all those other guys that are working hard, that's coming to practice, that's showing up, and they know what's going to happen? You guys going to push that guy right out there and let him go play, and I'm out here running around being decoy Leroy. I'm practicing all week long, doing all the things that I need to be doing. I'm showing up to meeting. I'm on time, and you know what? I'm dependable. And you guys just going to push Josh Gordon out there. How do you think I'm going to feel? I'm going to tell you right now, you would have lost that team. They said, we might be the butt out there, but we're not going to be the butt in this locker room. This team, Cleveland Browns team, is going to win you six, seven games this year, and they know it, and it's not going to be with this guy because they can't. Yeah, you can win with him, but you're going to win less with him because of the fact he will become a cancer and more of a distraction because guys will see that he's getting that kitty glove attention, and everyone else is being held to a different standard. It doesn't work. That's why I'm the Niner. It's a pass. Why? They're 3, 4, 5 years away. If that's the case, go let him get developed by Tom Brady. Go let him see what it's like of an organization and regime that's not going to put the kid gloves on you, that's going to hold you accountable, that's going to get you mature, that's going to have you ready to play football. And yeah, New England's not going to give him that grand, big old huge deal. But at that time, after those 2 years of after contract control, then they're done with him. And guess what? They developed a man then. They developed a leader then. They developed a guy that's not going to be selfish then. And now you got with Tom Brady, the kind of pressure that he's going to be under. You think he's under pressure now? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's going to say, no, you're going to do this and get him help. Now in a year or 2 years when he's a free agent, then you got a player. If I'm the sandwich overnight, I'm like, look, okay, I get it. Go there, let him develop, and then go out and pay the guy. But then you know that he's been under great tutelage. Right now, it's a hard pass for me.
Beefline in just a moment, but let me ask you a question. Where did this guy, Josh Gordon, where did he play in college?
He played a couple of different spots, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Utah was one of them.
Utah was one. Baylor's where he finished. Can anyone tell me where he was drafted?
Yeah, he was a supplemental pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Supplemental draft. So this guy couldn't make it at Utah, then he goes to Baylor. Then he can't make it in the draft because he's a major problem, so he goes to the supplemental draft. Come on, look at what happens there.
There you go.
Trust me.
Terrell Pryor, who was in trouble, was a supplemental pick.
Yeah, exactly. It's because you generally get run out of college and you were too late to get into the original draft because you thought maybe you could stay another year, but you blew your opportunity. So he couldn't make it work at Utah. He kind of made it work at Baylor. Everyone saw the talent, but you ended up in the supplemental draft. Suspension after suspension after suspension. People will show you who they are. Just let them. What makes you think this guy's going to buy in to what the Niners are trying to do? What has he ever done that would make you think that he's going to be a team guy? All I need is one example, and I might be able to get behind the idea of bringing him in.
2013, he had a monster year. He led the league in receiving yards. He was the force that everyone has been waiting for. And granted, that's now 5 years away, but playing devil's advocate.
5 years ago, he had one good season and then immediately played five games the following year and then got suspended for the entire season.
He's a great talent.
One good year.
He's a great talent.
Everyone's being tricked by one good year.
I'm not. I don't want the guy.
See, I do want him, and I think it's tempting.
You can have him, Dibs.
And I'd love to have him. You know what? And I'll give you a seventh-round pick that can escalate to a fifth if he has more than seven touchdowns. And
you think that would work? You think that'd be enough?
I think so. Well, the reports are now that 8 to 10 teams have expressed interest. So as much as what you guys are saying is absolutely right, the talent cannot be denied, and a lot of these teams now need wide receivers already in the year.
But they need wide receivers. Yeah, they need him, but he hasn't been there.
You look at him as a reclamation project, and you think, you know, pending whatever happened in Cleveland this time, if he was using drugs again and he's got to go back to rehab, then fine. Forget that. All bets are off. But if he's not in trouble with the league or in trouble with drugs, I bring him in because my receiving core in Santa Clara is substandard, and you got the state-of-the-art quarterback, and he's not throwing to anybody who's up to par. I bring him in.
Pretty much the perfect segue for what we do every Monday and Friday at 7:30. Welcome to the Beef Line.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury. This is the Beef Line, proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
Yes, get over there!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
The Beef Line is presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods. Caller numero uno.
It's your boy, Al Chapino, once again. And I can't sleep because I'm watching the Denver game. The D-line is gassed. My boy Khalil Mack, he ain't ever been gassed. That man's got a full tank 24-7. Great game by Carr. Good play calling by Gruden. Good play, Carr. Give him that. If we had Khalil Mack, we'd be a playoff contender. Now, if I see one more of them damn Bridgestone flat tire commercials, I'm going to puke. I swear to God.
Is that the Jerky Boys?
He was one of them, I think. I like that commercial with the tire. Gets hit by the nail and it keeps on going, self-inflates. That's Gruden.
You enjoy that commercial.
Oh, it's a great one.
You like my motivational speech that I gave you to the tire?
Totally.
I don't know if I'm over that commercial, too.
He got the most out of Amari Cooper and Derek Carr this past week. I mean, I think he motivated the team sufficiently. Look, going into that game, you were 6-point dogs. I don't think anyone expected you to win. Then the first half played out, and people are thinking, hey, this is a big one right here. And then, again, for the second week in a row, a lousy second half. It's going to take time. He's got a lot on his hands, but it doesn't help after the game when people are asking about the pass rush. And it's like, well, you know, we got to figure it out. I mean, it was a problem you did not have 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, and you created it in the interest of draft picks for the future when we are in another locale. So I understand why fans would be outraged.
Maybe flip those for Josh Gordon.
Sounds great. Two conditional firsts.
Caller number two.
My name is Patrick, and I just saw an interview with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That guy looks like a jackass, and I don't want him to represent anybody that has the name Patrick in their name, or Ryan, or Fitz. That guy's a complete jackass. Have a great day.
Nice update. Wow.
I love him looking like Conor McGregor. I mean, he's going for something. You know, this guy, what is a Harvard, a Yale graduate?
Harvard.
He's a freaking smart guy. Now, he can get away with it, and it's funny. Now, if a brother was dressed like that, people would say, we already know, he's up there doing that for giggles. We know the guy's smart, very intelligent guy. He's up there just being, just joking around.
Here's what he's doing. There's two parts to this. He's winning,
yes,
and he's having fun. And that brings the locker room together.
Absolutely.
Deshaun Jackson was at that press conference where he was dressed like Conor McGregor. And they're all having a good time in Tampa. Jameis Winston is on the outs because Jameis Winston can't bring a locker room together. Jameis Winston is a me guy who doesn't make plays in the NFL. Fitzpatrick's going to trick Tampa Bay into giving him a big contract like Buffalo did. It's the cycle. It's the Fitzmagic cycle. They're going to give him $100 million.
No.
Probably not, but, you know.
It's, yeah, right.
Fool me one, shame on you.
Right, who knows
how this plays out.
I got you.
My beef is Joe Flacco. Stop trying to act like Lamar Jackson. You're not him. You're too old and dusty. I see you out there trying to scramble and looking like Lo Neal over here.
Whoa.
Back in his heyday. Stop. You're not him. Stop trying to copy him. You're old, you're dusty. I can't wait for you to be benched or traded or let go. The future is Lamar Jackson. I'm so tired of you. You had the one miracle run. Thank you for the Super Bowl. But that's it.
Nice. Good uptick, too.
I like these calls today. I like it when we vary it up a little bit. People just taking shots at players and teams. Let me ask you this. Who is stealing? Who is stealing more, Matthew Stafford or Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco, without a doubt. Matthew Stafford's out there laying his body on the line, getting lit up.
Matthew Stafford, you saw that, and you guys said he's a good quarterback. You hope that Jimmy G has his career.
No. That's not what I said. I asked that question. I asked if he had the career of Matthew Stafford, would you take it knowing you would build around it?
Right, not you. I'm talking about this guy. Okay. Maybe that is. But no, yeah.
Well, when you lead with you guys,
I'm sorry.
Plural.
Right. You people. Like
I'm
you
sorry, I misconstrued that.
What mean? Oh,
you know what?
Yes.
You know what? Blow the whistle. That's on me.
No. Yeah, give me
racial.
Some Obama to make up for it.
Was. It was. You know what? It's very racial. You're right. That was wrong. That was wrong.
I made a mistake. I meant to isolate Tibbs, and I isolated both of you.
Thank you.
There is no tolerance for that.
Thank you, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
The Obama impersonation suddenly becoming a mainstay on the program. What else we got?
Joe, Lo, and Tibbs. Stop calling LaDainian Tomlinson LT. He is not LT. The original LT is Lawrence Taylor. Please stop calling LaDainian Tomlinson LT. Every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, they're talking about Lawrence Taylor. No, it's LaDainian Tomlinson. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, this is an interesting point because I've heard this before. But what are you supposed to do? If you name the child L and T and people naturally want to gravitate to it, Lawrence Taylor just has that trademark, like no one's allowed to ever refer to the guy as that anymore.
It's ridiculous, and that's we could say that about any nickname for any team or any player.
Right.
For example,
the Tigers played the Tigers this weekend.
Right. The Raider Nation, for example. Well, they came after the Sioux Nation, if
right.
I'm not mistaken. So, wouldn't they have the initial? Stop it. Wouldn't they have the initial rights to the Sioux Nation?
Right.
Thank you.
His middle name is
really
Tremaine, by the way, so he could be LTT or LT2.
Tremaine. All right. Well, let me ask you this. What's more egregious, referring to LaDainian Tomlinson as LT or referring to Aaron Rodgers as A-Rod?
That's more egregious.
You think that one's worse?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, it's Rodriguez, not Rodgers. You could have him be A-Rodge because he's got the DG in there, but he's not A-Rod.
Who had a better? I mean, I could agree with you saying it's more egregious, but I can't get behind the logic.
They're
both A-Rod.
It should be R-O-G. It should be A-Rod because there's no D in Rodgers if you spell it correctly. So the fact that he has a D in there superfluously is the only reason why he's A-Rod.
Interesting.
Spell
so
Rodgers
you have
with
a problem
G.
with the D in Rodgers.
You know what I have a problem with?
What?
Is Adrian Wojnarowski being nicknamed Woj.
Right.
You can't be Wojnarowski and Woj. You can either be Wojnarowski and Woj, or Wojnarowski and Woj.
That's pretty fair.
That's very fair. And for that last caller, Joe,
really
simple question. Who had a better career?
Lawrence Taylor.
How?
He's the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. LT is remarkable.
Is
remarkable.
Is he the greatest? Is he the greatest? Are you just going?
All right, who's better?
There's a...
Literally, just name one.
A single linebacker.
A single defensive player.
Oh, I thought Deion, what he did.
Deion's great.
Great. He's beyond great.
Good little career.
There is no such thing as a word that's higher than great. Great is the top.
Greater.
We have synonyms, and we have different ways of adding letters to the end, but great is the pinnacle. You can't be better than great, right?
Okay.
What's greater than great?
But when you guys get a chance, I know everyone throws LTs. Is just a great
Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor's
the greatest defensive football player of all time. He changed the game. He wrecked Joe Montana. He wrecked Joe Theismann. Like, he changed the game. Bill Walsh had to create a new way of playing offense to account for Lawrence Taylor. LT, please.
What?
He's running behind you for years.
He's a pretty special guy.
Now, that's a tricky spot right there because you either devalue your own career
No.
or you have to bail on the LT argument.
I know. I'm devaluing my career because LT was great. LaDainian Tomlinson is freaking great.
Why you sell yourself out?
Because, dude, you seen this guy? I mean, LT, who's
Please,
more sacks?
Adrian Morrell ran for 1,000 yards behind you.
Anyone
could have run for 1,000 behind you.
Did he have single season sack record? No. LT singles touchdown season record? Yes. Did you compare these two guys? Really sit down and go over it. Don't just throw numbers.
Right. Maybe there's something to that down the road.
Yeah,
maybe
okay.
There's. Put it up on the Joe Lo and Dibs Twitter account. Joe Lo and Dibs.
Be honest, people.
Get the
be
nonsense.
Honest.
Who was the better LT, Lawrence Taylor or LaDainian Tomlinson? And be honest, because we're nothing if we're not honest.
It's going to be humbling for you. It's going to be a tough one for you.
Yeah, you're, and also, it's going to be a biased fan base. The Raider fans are not going to vote for LaDainian Tomlinson.
Sure.
Look at his numbers, what he did to the Raiders. That's all. Da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah. His little, what's that thing called? His little teardrop. LT would try to kill you. Lawrence, LT in the end zone, just dancing. We got to keep moving. Next call.
As a Raider fan, I just hated that Brahma Bull in the backfield. I'm talking about you, Lo. You destroyed my linebackers. I hated you. Now I'm starting to feel sorry for you. You know, you throw these takes out that are just studs. They hammer you. You know, the whole studio gets you after you. Somehow you stick it through and you just keep sticking your nose in there. And you know, I'm starting to feel sorry for you.
Wow.
That's not so much a beef as it is. That's a sympathy line.
Well,
every Tuesday and Wednesday at 8:30.
Well, I think the caller understands kind of abuse that I take from here. And I keep moving. I just keep sticking my nose in there and let you guys do whatever. But, you know, he understands. He knows that I'm a man of God, and I just keep praying for you guys.
He did mention off the top that, I'd like to retort. He did mention off the top that your takes are weak, and that's why you get ridiculed by the rooms.
So trash was, I believe, the word he used.
Yeah, that sounds about
and
right.
And if he didn't, I'll use it.
I'm the one who said Khalil Mack could be traded. That take was pretty hot. They wanted to crucify us.
You know what? In your defense, there have been a few that you have knocked out of the park. Right. There's another one, too. It's slipping my mind, but there's a couple you've had. There's also a couple that were wildly inaccurate.
This is true.
To the point where you'd want to go back in time just to erase them from the airwaves. All right.
What do you mean, yeah?
Great news. Part of the Beefline sponsorship deal with Harris Ranch. Our good friends at Harris Ranch includes gift certificates to give away for the best beef of the month. Each month, we're giving away a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Knob Hill Foods. Whew. Jerry Rice in about 17 minutes. What do you think he's going to say about Josh Gordon? Hey, Jerry, what would you do? Would you bring Josh Gordon in? How's he respond?
He's going to say, I'll definitely look at the guy and say, what is it going to cost? And he's probably going to say, look, if you can get him for a sixth or a seventh, we probably bring him in. If he said, but I think that he will say that, you know, Josh Gordon want to make sure this guy is going to be available. Like you alluded to be a football player, you got to play football. And right now, Josh hasn't been able to play football, so he's not a football player.
Kyle Shanahan was asked about a potential pursuit of Josh Gordon after yesterday's win over the Detroit Lions. Take a listen to what the head coach had to say.
I love our whole team and the guys that we have. I always feel, you know, since camp ended and we've got our 53, I mean, we can win with the people we have. But any time a player is available, which I don't know if he is or not, I don't know what's happened today. So if he isn't, I'm not allowed to comment. But my same answer for always. We will look into every situation to always try to upgrade our team, no matter what the case is. But to answer your question, am I happy with what we have? Of course I am.
Okay. Pretty much the perfect answer.
Yeah.
Said all the right things there, and there's really nothing we can grab onto and spin violently out of control to turn it into 2 hours of Sports Talk Radio.
Shanahan wants Gordon, or Shanahan issues Gordon. He played it right down the middle.
Shanahan likes football team.
Yeah, there you
thinks
there you
he
go.
Can win with guys he has.
And that's the perfect answer, while also, you know, hey, you know, maybe we can add him, but I'm happy with who we have, and if they do add him, then he can say, what a great addition to our room, you know. Not that we needed an upgrade, but sure is good to have him.
What's the price point that's too expensive for you? You like the idea of bringing him in. $790,000 this year, 2 more years of team control. You don't have to worry about virtually anything on the salary cap. But in terms of acquiring him, we saw what the Bears paid for Khalil Mack. Now, this is going to be nowhere near that. But at what point do you say to yourself, that's too expensive, he's not worth it?
No pick in the first three rounds. So I would be willing to say, you know, we'll give you a sixth rounder, and if he hits certain benchmarks, it can go all the way up to a fourth, but no better than a fourth, because you don't want to end up giving your third round pick or any of your top two rounds. I think when you get through fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, they're somewhat interchangeable as far as the players you can get there. So that's where I would set the bar.
And you're thinking there's pretty much no price where you would want to bring him in. Like right now, if you found out you could have him for a seventh, would you do it?
A seventh, I'd probably do it, Joe. I would do it. I would do it for a seventh. I'm just not high on the guy because I just don't know how available he's going to be. Hell, the guy's a talent. To me, he's top three receivers in the league right now. When he's playing, I mean, he's freaking go up and get the jump ball, can do all kind of things, beat coverage. I mean, he's an amazing player when he's playing. I just can't give up a sixth or I can't give up a fifth or a fourth. You know, a seventh, sixth, yeah, maybe. But, you know, but I would still like kick myself and question myself the whole time. And then if something happens, I'd be like, I knew it. then I would be mad at myself. You know, it's sort of that where you're like, God, I knew I should pick that team, and why did I, you know, why did I take New England this week when I knew that Jacksonville's playing at home, they're better defense? Why did I do it?
That's one of the rare hits for beat the bookie this weekend.
Yeah, but you know, it's so you feel like that because you're like, dude, if the guy, if he doesn't make it, it won't surprise you. That's the only reason why I'm saying, why give up some fourth or fifth round for a guy that you, that I think it's less than a 50-50 chance right now for the guy.
It's you, I mean, know what I'm saying? You need that's football all, players to it. Play football. That's like your baseline condition for a football player. He's got to be able to play football. And this guy is really good at not playing football. Like, that's one thing, Josh Gordon, you can bank on. He will not be available to play football for you. The talent, it's fascinating to watch the talent sway emotions and sway decisions. This guy hasn't done anything since 2013, and yet 8 teams are calling, according to Rappaport. 8 teams are calling the Browns about him. And then what happens? Like think about this for a second. The Browns have won a football game over the last 2 years. Actually, we're now in season 3 of that. They have won one singular football game. They have no talent. Now, we can make a case for some of these young guys, Denzel Ward, Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
They look all right. But right now, until further notice, you're considered a team with no talent because you don't win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to do when you have talent. You need to win. So they got no talent whatsoever. They've stuck by this guy forever. If they are throwing in the towel on him, the loser Cleveland Browns are throwing in the towel on this guy, why would you want to pursue him? They need him. They need people who can play football because there's one thing Cleveland does really well. They lose. They've won one football game in the last 2+ seasons. One. So why would you think, you know what, Cleveland, let this guy go. We should really get involved. Why?
Change of scenery. You believe that your culture and your change of scenery is strong enough to where you can get this player to perform. And he has a touchdown already this year. He had one catch in the opener. It was a touchdown catch, 17-yarder. So you know he's healthy, and he appears to be motivated to want to play. I don't know what happened ahead of this week 2 situation, if it was a off-field injury. I know he was late for a meeting is the report, and Cleveland probably just fed up. You know, they've given him so many chances that at some point you say, no more, let somebody else deal with it. And if that team has a solid structure, and the Niners probably feel that they do, you've got a culture in place that can absorb some of the distractions that go along with it, you're getting a guy who is an elite talent. If you can convince him to come in and play and give effort, then you're on to something great. And I'm not saying it's the same situation as when the Patriots got Randy Moss from Oakland. Randy Moss had gone into shutdown mode. He didn't look like a guy who was going to have 20 touchdowns the next year. New England obviously spoke to him, and Moss convinced him that he would actually try for them, and so they went ahead and got him in there.
There's a couple players. Carson Palmer. Hugh Jackson gets this guy to play, getting him off the couch, make this deal one game from getting the Raiders in the playoffs. You look at the quarterback that you guys talked about that moved in receiver. You look what Hugh was able to do with him.
Terrell Pryor.
You look at a guy like Chad Johnson, all those different guys, whatever. He gets those guys to play, and he gets them to play well. Different trouble guys. Hugh does a great job with those guys as far as getting the best out of them when they're a football player, when they're on the field, helping men. You saw him develop with Joyce Flacco, all those different things Hugh did for these, a lot of these guys behind the scene, far as the big brother mentorship. If you talk to a lot of guys, they'll tell you about him. Now, you have Josh Gordon there, and you have a guy that's bought in, that's trying to help you out, and Hugh Jack and all those different things, and you can't get this guy to show up and play for you. You can't get this guy to buy in. You have Greg Williams. You have a lot of coaches on that staff, people that are there to help you. You got a great offensive mind coach, offensive coordinator you went and brought in, you know, to help you and get you open. And all those things are lined up. I just think that I just think for the Niners where they need to go right now, I think it's a guy that has a tremendous amount of upside, tremendous amount of talent. Yes, he could help you win. But does this team need that risk? A team like New England, a team like Jacksonville, certain teams, I think that would be better suited. Like if I'm New England, yeah, I could go as high as a fifth because I know Tom Brady, what he's going to do. You know Belichick, what he's going to do. Certain guys have a certain sphere of influence that can really, really help guys out. I just don't know if the Niners want to do that. Is he a talent? No question he's a talent. But like you say, Joe, to be a football player, you got to play football. His last time he played a full season was 2013. This is just not a good, that's just not good enough.
The Niners aren't running a daycare. They're running a professional football organization. They're trying to rebuild. They've already got the Reuben Foster thing. How much of that do you want in the locker room? Reuben's got to prove himself ready to play and contribute and ready to take the next step with his growth. Now you want to bring this guy in and babysit him too? I mean, look,
too much.
I'm not interested in how a person acts when they're up by 40, right? When times are good, when your life's solid, when everything's breaking your way, I'm not interested in your character then, because everyone has good character. When you got some money, when you got some success, when you've got some happiness, everyone has good character then. I want to see where you're at when you're down by 7 with a minute and a half to go and you got to go 75 yards on the field. And I don't think this guy's going to be available for those situations. I think maybe he can come in and give you a game in a rebuild. But what happens if you make the playoffs, for crying out loud, and you need him in the fourth? Do you trust this guy to be there for your team? Do you trust him to remember the route? I mean, yesterday you've got Dante Pettis running the wrong route on the third down where Garoppolo got picked off. He ran the wrong route. Shanahan said after the game, it was supposed to be a rub route to free up the running back so that Garoppolo could hit him. But Garoppolo was late because Pettis was running straight down the field and the entire play collapsed. Now, people make mistakes. The kid's a rookie. It's no big deal. But you're already dealing with all of this youth. You're already trying to implement culture. You're trying to implement your offense. You're trying to develop players. You got issues on the O-line, issues at running back, issues in the secondary, issues at linebacker. This is going to take some time. You don't have the flexibility to bring in another child that needs to be watched every single day. Who's going to be responsible for that? Is someone going to follow this guy around everywhere he goes? Like, the only thing you need to do to be a football player is to show up and play football. He can't do that. I don't care how talented you are. What good is being the best writer in the world if you don't write books? Like, what good is being a fantastic musician if you don't make music? The skill is just squandered. It's great to see him when he plays, but you never see him playing anymore. That one pass he caught against the Steelers for the touchdown, did you see how many of his teammates mobbed him? Everyone came over for that dude. Everybody was hugging him. Everyone was so proud of that moment. It wasn't your typical rehearsed celebration. Everybody was genuinely happy for him. And less than a week later, he let all those dudes down yet again. And it's like, okay, we can get him for a seventh. Okay, so a seventh round pick for a guy who may or may not show up to play football on some occasion. Do you need that in your locker room? Are you at a point where Josh Gordon gets you to the Super Bowl this year?
No,
probably not. So why take the risk?
Maybe he gets you over the hump and he gets you into the playoffs. And you mentioned you've got club control for a guy who's not even making $1 million. And he's a player who has to go out and prove it. Cleveland, if they cut him today, or if they trade him, if this all goes down this afternoon at 1, Josh Gordon's got a hard choice to make. Do I want to continue playing pro football? And if the answer is yes, and you can bring him in, I think your culture is fine to absorb a guy who, I don't think he's going to need any, quote, babysitting. He's in a situation where if he makes a mistake with whatever team he goes to, they're just going to cut him, and that'll be it. That'll be two teams, that'll be two cuts in the same season, and he won't be touchable anymore. So if you can do it for a seventh-round pick, you've got a situation with your offense where you're going into Kansas City, and you might need to score 70 points to win that game. The way they looked and the way your secondary is in shambles, you're not going to be able to beat them with Robbie Gould field goals. You're going to need touchdowns. So if this guy can help you do that, I say bring him in. You've got the cap room, the contract number's low, the commitment's relatively low as well.
If you're building a team, like, does anyone remember that press conference from Josh McCown, the backup quarterback of the Jets? What was it, either last year or 2 years ago when he was bawling? Like, he had that great game, and they lost late, and he was crying up on the podium because it just meant so much to him. This guy's a journeyman quarterback who's made some good money, but it none of that mattered. He just wanted to win that football game. And afterwards, he's crying because he's just losing it emotionally because he felt like he let his team down. He made a couple mistakes late. It wasn't the end of the world. Those are the types of dudes you want to try to build your organization around. You would like to have football players who want to play football, who care about playing football. Now, granted, it's a job, and some dudes might just view it as a job. But at a radio station, you genuinely want people who want to come in and talk about sports. Otherwise, the show isn't going to work. If you're at a restaurant and you're trying to get that Michelin star, you're going to want people who want to be innovative, who want to learn the latest and greatest techniques. you want them to be there. It's just the basic level of interest in your craft. Now, granted, some of us don't like our jobs. Some of us are in tough situations. Some football players, I get it. It's a paycheck. It's the thing they're most qualified to do. And outside of this, they might not be able to make a good living. I get that that happens. Gordon doesn't strike me as a guy who cares about the game. He strikes me as a guy who, like, you know, it provides money for him. And it's pretty much better than any other option that's out there. It doesn't seem like he cares about his teammates. It really doesn't seem like he cares about his organization. I mean, think about Cleveland, how many chances they gave this guy.
And it's not, and it goes to show you exactly what you're saying along those lines is this, that he's probably not, maybe he's not having a rehab. Maybe he's not had a relapse. Okay, if he's not had a relapse, then the question is, why is he not showing up? Why is he doing a photo shoot? Why is he out getting hurt? Why is he showing up late? Why is he missing meetings? You've already had been dealing with demons, and if you put that behind you and you're focused on a job because you've had a second and third or fourth or fifth opportunity because you have a skill set that people want to see, and all of a sudden now your skill set's there, but you're late. You don't show up. You're missing different things. What does that tell you how he really cares about football? And then you have a tweet. Thank you, Cleveland. But anybody needs a receiver, Dallas and I, I'm ready.
Right.
It's there's no sincerity. There's no forgiveness there. Here's a guy that doesn't care. Let me tell you, when after this guy gets gone or what have you, there's going to be a lot that comes out. There's going to be a lot more because when you love that person, you keep it in house. But then once they're gone, you got to divorce or whatever, you're going to let things fly out. You're going to air the bad laundry. There's something that's going on for a guy just to not to show up, to be late. Don't want to show up to training camp. Said, I'm going to show up, and then all of a sudden don't. But you still babysit him. You still love him. You still bring him in. That's not being hard on someone. That's being tolerant. That's giving them opportunity. That's a bad culture. That's saying, hey, look, we understand you have a problem. Go check yourself into rehab. Go get yourself clean. Giving him those opportunities, and then once you come back, you still spit in my face. You still don't show up to a meeting. You're still late. And we're depending on you. What more can they do? That's why when I'm looking at this from outside looking in, it's like, man, there's a lot of garbage with this guy. And there's some other things besides the drugs where it makes me say, I don't know if I'm willing to go that high on a pick because this guy right now doesn't show and it doesn't seem like he loves football.
You made an excellent point there. Think about all that Cleveland's tried to do for him. They've tried to keep him around. They let him not show up for camp. If you're watching Hard Knocks, you see that flat out that they're okay. You know, get yourself figured out. We'll be here. Let us know when you're ready. Do what you got to do. You stand by him. And when they decide they're going to move on from you, you're right. He doesn't release a statement saying, you know what? Thank you, Cleveland. I made a lot of mistakes, but thank you for standing by me. The first report out of his camp is I'm interested in playing for the Cowboys or Niners. Here's some breaking news. I also am interested in playing for the Cowboys and Niners.
What?
I'd love to go play for the San Francisco 49ers. I just want to get that out there.
Yeah,
or the Cowboys.
Right, or the Cowboys.
I grew up not liking them, but I have interest in playing professional football for the Cowboys.
And people say, well, Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant didn't miss games. Dez Bryant wanted to play football. Dez Bryant was on the sideline. He's pissed. He wants to get in the game. Here's a guy that's just not showing up. He's missing me. He's missing in action. That's the difference.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you with us on this Monster Monday as we're breaking down both NFL games and everything in between. And with that in mind, we go to the phones. He's a Hall of Famer, a three-time Super Bowl champion, and a 13-time Pro Bowler. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. George Gordon. Oh, my God. I just heard you guys in your conversation about him. A great athlete, but I don't think he has, he doesn't have his head on straight because this guy is very talented. And I think Cleveland, they have done everything possible to give him so many opportunities and, you know, to show up for a meeting late. That had to be really discouraging to the team. And I remember when I played,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.